This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Helen Rosner is a food correspondent for The New Yorker, not a restaurant critic. She writes about the culture of food, what people are eating, why they're eating it, why it all matters. She's always trying new stuff, and recently she experimented with fermentation. And she did so under the guidance of quite an authority on the subject, the celebrity chef Rene Redzepi. Helen, I heard you had an important visitor at your place recently. Tell me about it. What happened? What went on?
I did. I made a number of recipes from a new cookbook. The book is called The Noma Guide to Fermentation, and it's by Rene Redzepi, the chef at Noma, and David Zilber, who's the head of the Noma Fermentation Lab. So Rene came over with David Zilber. They showed up at 10 a.m. on a beautiful Sunday morning.
This is a nice place.
Thank you.
I'm not used to coming to New York and seeing people live in real homes.
Yeah.
Usually they live like in...
So Noma's a really big deal, and it's in Copenhagen, right?
Yeah, it's a really big deal. It's generally considered one of the best, if not the best, restaurant in the entire world. It's one of those high-end tasting menu kind of places where you pay several hundred dollars to sit down for several hours with a number of courses that are weird and wild and wonderful.
Weird and wild and wonderful how? What do I get when I go to Noma?
Well, at Noma...
For my hundreds of dollars.
Noma is particularly famous for kind of being the locus of what has come to be known as the sense of place movement in high-end dining. So the chef, Rene Redzepi, has really turned to the landscape of Denmark and Scandinavia to find interesting ingredients and use interesting and unexpected techniques on them. He does a lot of foraging. He does a lot of getting to know the earth and the soil and the seas, and then taking what he finds there, often things that you might not expect to see on a menu, like ants, for example.
Ants,
which live
for
in
hundreds of dollars
Denmark.
For dinner.
Sure. A recent dessert at Noma was a puree of blueberries and walnuts that was beautifully plated and garnished with a few perfectly placed ants.
So Rene Redzepi gets interested in experiments and experimental ways of cooking food or presenting it in some way or another. Fermentation is something that I kind of think of when I think of, I don't know, sauerkraut?
Yeah.
It's not a word that leaps to mind with delicious, though, necessarily. Obviously, I'm 100% wrong.
Well, I don't like to say you're 100% wrong, but sauerkraut is not the sexiest food. But at the same time, you know, it's undeniably wonderful, right? It's tart and it's effervescent and it's sour and it's complex. But what happens at Noma a number of years ago, Rene and his team decided that fermentation was actually at the core of everything that they were doing. And they built what is sort of lovingly known as the Noma Science Bunker or the Noma Fermentation Lab.
So explain what fermentation is exactly. What is it, chemically speaking, what is it?
So chemically speaking, fermentation is the process of bacteria engaging with your food. Bacterias and yeasts, they sort of, I need it.
That sounds yummier all
yeah,
the time. that sounds yummier all the time.
Good.
But it's fermentation is the chemical breakdown of a substance by bacteria, yeast, other microorganisms. I think I got that right.
Yes, you nailed that much better than I did.
Because I wrote it on the back of my hand.
I know, I should have
written chemistry
this down
class.
In front of me.
Right, usually. So you get it in yogurt, you get it in beer, you get it in cheese, even the much dread, although I'm sure many of our listeners love kombucha.
Sure, yeah, that
God knows why.
Frizzy, sour, weird flavor that's in all of these foods that we love and that we really respond to. Though, of course, there are some people who really don't like that flavor, but they'll grow into it. David had actually mailed me a couple of days ahead of time from Copenhagen a mysterious package that I was instructed to put into the refrigerator right away. And this mysterious package contained what turned out to be barley koji.
If you've ever been to a cheap college dorm room and wandered into the bathroom and noticed the ceiling covered in black mold, you've met a relative of koji.
So koji is an interesting thing. It sort of looks like brown slime. And while Renee and I were the ones really getting our hands dirty making these three fermented things, David was standing by ready to answer in incredible detail every single question that I had.
Beyond koji's ability to break starches into sugars, it can also break proteins into amino acids, creating the flavor of umami. And that's where it comes into play in products like
soy
sauce.
He's kind of like a mad scientist of fermentation. He knows everything.
What's it like having these two guys in your kitchen? It must be a little on the intimidating side.
I was a little bit starstruck, I'm not going to lie. You know, they're really good at what they do, which was the great thing, and I felt very at ease with them. And the thing that really blew me away through all of it was how simple all three of these recipes were. All you do is mix these things with salt or with koji, and you wait.
And something unusual and fascinating and terrific comes out of it.
Exactly. You know, fermentation is in all sorts of foods that we already eat. But if you decide to really set out to do it yourself at home with seriousness, the way this book wants you to, it involves all sorts of specialized ingredients. So you become a person who winds up buying mold on the internet or going in search of a specialty bacteria when you travel overseas. And actually, Rene Redzepi told us an incredible story about a time he was trying to travel home from Mexico with a really exciting fermentation ingredient.
They unpacked my bags. And within 5 minutes, there's like 15 machine guns around me, really. And you know what? They open one of the bags and they put their finger in, like you see in the movie, and they were like this.
They tested it. They think you were smuggling
drugs? I think they thought it was drugs. And I told them, it's mold, it's mold. And then when it was sweet, you know, they all laughed.
How do you get it? Like, do you scrape it off a wall? Or like?
No, you get it as a powder.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have these powdered up, but I guess you could scrape it off a wall.
So you can't get this stuff even at Whole Foods?
Most Japanese supermarkets will have koji available, mm-hmm. and if you don't have a Japanese supermarket near you, you can order it online. I had the good fortune of having Noma's own homegrown barley koji. But making the hazelnut miso couldn't have been more simple.
All right, so I make hazelnut miso how?
Here's how you do it. You take hazelnut flour, you combine it with a certain amount of the barley koji, you add a little bit of salt, you pack it into a jar, and you wait.
And then I have it.
You have miso.
So after they left, you were left in charge of checking in with all this fermentation that was going on in your refrigerator. The blueberries, the hazelnut miso, and even some mushrooms.
Yeah. And I recorded an audio diary of what I found.
We have different lives.
All right, it's day 3, because I forgot to do this yesterday, and I'm going to check on our 3 jars. So first up, we have the blueberries, and wow, there is some serious blueberry juice starting to form at the bottom of this jar.
Oh, here we are on day 4, I guess. Okay, I kind of want to give this a shake or something, but I don't want to mess anything up.
It's clear that they're starting. Hey, what's wrong, sweetheart? Can I talk to my phone? Give me 1 second.
Well, here we are on the 9th day. Well, the blueberries and the mushrooms have now been going for a little bit over a week, which means it's time to test them. So I'm gonna open the jar and give them a taste, and I'll report back.
Now, Helen Rosner, we come to the crucial moment. Apparently, you've bought stuff to eat.
I did. You've... I brought snacks.
Can I say, guests should always bring snacks. It's just the right thing to do. What do you got?
So the first thing is I brought you some yogurt and honey so we can make a little mini parfait with the blueberries.
All right. I think I've done right there. Okay. And you want and put regular old honey in
it. Yeah,
there.
Just plain old honey
in it. The upside down little bear guy.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not joining me? Come on, Helen.
I'll have a little.
All right.
Can you pass me a spoon?
Damn right I will. Okay. Let's try this out.
like that. That is weirdo, but great.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the three.
That's fantastic.
I'm a huge fan of that. And the thing that really blows my mind with this
Can
whole
I have
process.
More?
Yes, please. Here, there's
great.
Spoons on the table.
It's like it's created a whole new berry.
Yeah.
I mean, they're blueberry adjacent now.
Right.
Really good. Okay. And what would you do with this? Like pancakes or?
Yeah, you can do all sorts of things. You know, in the book, they recommend running them through a blender or a food processor and kind of pureeing them and, you know, because it's very.
Yeah, I wouldn't have the patience for that.
Yeah.
You got the blueberries, I'm eating them.
Well, once they're blended, though, they suggest really fascinating things like using it in a homemade barbecue sauce or brushing an ear of corn with it and then grilling the corn.
Fermented blueberry ground up in a food processor and smeared over a ear of corn.
Sure.
Man, I wouldn't have thought of that.
First, this is the mushrooms.
Should I open it?
If you want to, yeah. Take a whiff to it.
Take a whiff, she says.
It
okay.
smells like something very specific to me, and I'm curious if it smells like the same thing to you.
Oh, it smells kind of boozy.
Yeah. I think it
boozy
smells like...
Boozy mushrooms.
I think it
what
smells
could
like
be
apple
bad?
Cider. There's something very cidery to me.
You got it.
Well, let's try what I made.
Okay,
with
now
the
we have green beans.
This is a prepared dish. This is okay. You know, food TV style. I came in with
I
the
really
final
should
thing.
Not have eaten lunch before this, but...
Well, so I'm giving you these in sort of okay, reverse these... order of how much I like them. So
fantastic advertising. These are green beans that have what on them?
The dressing is made out of a combination of the fermentation liquid from the mushrooms, so this mushroomy, salty brine. And then an oil that I made by infusing non-fermented mushrooms in a neutral oil and a little bit of diced shallot.
Okay, this is delicious, I think largely because you cook these beans, they're crispy and they're fantastic. Oh, this is cool. This is really good.
Yeah.
And we're going to crunchy bean sound, too. Oh, God.
You know,
all right,
so
now you have a package, a container of what looks like cookies.
When I started mixing the koji in with the hazelnut meal, I noticed that it felt a lot like cookie dough. And I asked Renee if you could just make cookies out of the hazelnut miso itself. And to my incredible delight, he thought it was kind of a cool idea and suggested that he and David should play around with it when they get back to the Noma kitchen.
Can you make a miso cookie?
You know what? Have we ever done that?
Miso cookies?
Yeah?
No.
Have we ever just put an egg in this and tried to bake it?
No.
Oh.
We can.
Live Noma innovation happening in my home right now.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Magic just
wanted.
Happened.
This is what we wanted.
The book is making the-
You like it.
Mmm.
You really like it.
They're really good. So my wife and I have the same affliction. We're one of those people who are always asking the waiter or for salt. This is the saltiest cookie I've ever had. Therefore, one of the best.
I am delighted and surprised that you like this. I think
I've never tasted anything like this. This was fantastic. Now, is this going to become part of your cooking regimen, the fermentation?
Yeah, you know, it already was, it turned out. I'm a big fan of making things like preserved lemons, and I have definitely once or twice experimented with making my own kombucha.
Be truthful with me. It's your last hour on earth, and you've got the best kombucha possible over on your left and the best beer possible over on your right. What are you reaching for?
Well, beer is also fermented.
Yeah, I know. so much better.
It depends on the beer, and it depends on the kombucha. I'm not good at answering these questions.
You know what this leaves us with? Our next segment... Down the road. How about that?
We'll do a kombucha versus beer taste test for
Ladies
sure.
and gentlemen, Ellen Rosner. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you want to try making those fermented hazelnut flour cookies, well, we've got the recipe at newyorkerradio.org, and best of luck.